You are going to need your Bibles today. That's one of the great things about our church. We do use that still. If you brought one, that's fine. If you don't, there's one available. Should be some somewhere. And so feel free to grab that maybe in the seat in front of you or underneath you. Maybe you brought it in a digital format. That's fine. That's great. I love my digital Bible. As long as I don't accidentally flip on Facebook real quick, I'm not going to judge, right? But hopefully we'll be okay. I need to switch here. Microphone. All right. So if you can't tell, there's a few of us that are a little new today. So let me just kind of set the stage. We're in the middle of a sermon series called Go, Gather, Grow. For those of you who aren't familiar, I've been the pastor of this church for almost 2 years. And it takes a little while for pastors to transition in. And for the church to kind of transition with it, there's kind of ebbs and flows and people come and go. We kind of find our traction. But this whole time, we've been working with our leadership team. We've been working with other pastors in the other area. And I've been personally working with mentors to try to determine our vision, our mission, right? And out of that comes our purpose and our values. And so that's what this sermon series is about. And I intentionally did this because I wanted everybody back Sunday for people who maybe hadn't come to church in a while or had never come to our church, period, to be able to hear what Harvest Community Church is doing, is about to do, and what we're about, right? So that's kind of why I want the kids down here, because I want the kids to hear this too, because they could get this, right? Because they're a part of it. You know, some churches separate the kids and the youth off, and they just kind of pretend that it's just the adults that are part of the church and not here at Harvest, right? Everybody's part of the church. Everybody has a responsibility. The babies, the young people, right? The young adults, all right? The not so young adults. I'm not going to say the word old, right? We're not going to do that, right? But everybody has a responsibility as part of the church. That's why we call it a body. So that's kind of where we're at. And we're today kind of presenting our mission. But before I get to that, we just had the weekend. I'm curious, what did you do this weekend? Let me throw out some options. Did anybody leave town this weekend? You can just raise your hand. Anybody leave town? Okay. Grand Junction counts. That's right. We left town. Okay. All right. With the Grand Junction. I know. We're like, Grand Junction doesn't count. Montrose doesn't count. Right. It does, technically. All right. Did anybody go any place exotic? Right, maybe in town. I know Delta had a car show. Did anybody go to the car show in Delta? All right. I don't know what was going on around here in Olathe. How about chores at the house? Did anybody just kind of catch up on stuff? Laundry? Yeah, your laundry's like ours. It started to grow teeth and claws, right? And you'd open the closet door and it would be staring at you and you'd be like, oh, close the door to the laundry, right? Okay, yeah. Ours doesn't get that bad. It used to when we had more kids at our house, right? Honeydews or just things, projects around the house. Anybody help dig a trench at a local church? All right, there you go. I knew I'd get a few people. All right, how about parties? Anybody go to a party this weekend? No parties? Okay, let me tell you about a party that happened this weekend. This party was huge, okay? And I say huge. I'm not into the party scene. I've been to a few. Right. So 200-ish people, that's pretty big to me. Right. That's pretty big to me. So it was huge. It was amazing. It was beautiful. There was a lot of people there. It was kind of a formal party. You didn't have to dress like in a tux. There were a few people in tuxes. There some that were just kind of in their super nice Sunday clothes, kind of like they're wearing this morning, maybe. This party, it was amazing. They actually had a color scheme that they kind of decorated the party with. And, I mean, they were kind of all in on this party so much that even some of the ladies that were there wore dresses that kind of matched the color scheme. That was pretty cool. And it was kind of a fallish theme, you know, lots of kind of a, you know, just your regular autumn, your dark browns, kind of your chestnut brown and you know, your orange and copper and kind of green colors. It was really pretty. I think what the most interesting thing about this party, though, is it was kind of a two-part party. All the fun dancing. It was kind of at a winery. I've never been to a winery, so I don't understand. As you can tell, I wasn't actually at this party. Okay, Ronnie's like, you went to a party, right? But it was at a winery. It was kind of a fun deal. That there was some dancing, right? Some music, a lot of great food at it. And that was kind of the second part of the party. The first part of the party, though, was kind of interesting because it looked a little more like kind of this. There were some chairs and rows, and the people were kind of sitting in the rows, and one guy, he was dressed really, he was like the best dressed guy there. He was kind of standing up here, and there's this lady here who, she didn't match the decor at all, right? Because she was just wearing white. And she was kind of standing up here too, right? And there's a dude with a Bible, I don't know how many parties you've been to, right? But the parties I've been to, very few of them, you know, have a dude with a Bible. I mean, I'm the dude with a Bible, right? Okay, you know, but there's a guy with a Bible there, kind of standing in front of them. There's this beautiful archway right behind them. And all the ladies that matched the color scheme were standing here, and all the really nice dressed guys were standing here, right? And the most pivotal part, I mean, it was a great party. It was kind of weird because at this party, the dude in the tux and the lady in the white, they left the party like before everybody else. That's kind of weird, right? And you're just like, okay, so like the people we're here to honor, they get to leave first. I don't get that, right? But it was cool because we got to throw rice at them. And I think you know what I'm talking about, right? A wedding. Yeah. Right? And the most critical part, and probably the most important part of this wedding, was at that moment that guy with the Bible, which was the minister, he was up there and he was standing in front of the groom and the bride. And they got to the part of this party or ceremony where they each told each other and made a promise, a vow, to devote their lives to each other. And the guy went first, and he said something like, I promise to love you and cherish you all your life, in sickness and in health, when there's nothing in the bank or when we're rolling in big, right? On the bad days where you're having a bad hair day, right? Or the good days until one of us dies, right? That's kind of how it went. They shared their devotion to each other. And then the other person had the opportunity to do it the same. Now, I want you to think of the word devotion. What comes to your mind? I just mentioned the most obvious, because that's what came to my mind, was the wedding ceremony, right? And getting married. What comes to your mind when you think of devotion or devoted to or devoting yourself? You see, honestly, in our time, that word has lost a lot of what I call oomph. It's lost a lot of oomph in my generation for sure, and I think successive generations are only worse. And here's the reason why I say that. How do I know that there was a party this weekend like that? Because, folks, there are 6,000 marriages every day. 6,000 people get married every day. That means there's 6,000 weddings. It could be as simple as going down to the courthouse. It could be as simple as going up on the mesa and expressing your love to each other in front of a good friend, right? Whatever it looks like, it might be even going, you know, and maybe a guy dressed like Elvis is there, right? Okay. That happens. 6,000 of those happen every day. In America, 50% of those will end in divorce. You see, unfortunately, that's another party that I learned about this recently. Divorce parties. Have you ever heard of this? Yeah. People have divorce parties. And not everybody has a divorce party, but mainly people that are coming out of a terrible divorce. And I know some of you know a lot more about this than I do. Right? They are celebrating the freedom, celebrating the detachment from that really bad situation, that marriage that they got into that turned out terrible. Right? And so they actually have a party. They invite friends over. And, you know, and they wave the signed divorce papers around and celebrate that. But 50% of all marriages, all first marriages, end in divorce. And that's how I can confidently stand up here and say that we have lost the oomph, the meaning of the word devotion. Because marriage has gone from a devotion to more of a good interest or maybe simply a commitment. And I'm going to talk about the difference in those, but first, let's look at our mission statement. Jacob's bouncing all over the place today. I'm going to keep him on his toes. Here's our mission statement for Harvest Community Church. It simply says, Harvest Community Church is devoted to going, gathering, and growing together in love for God and one another through Christ. Okay? The mission statement. Last week we talked about the vision statement. The vision statement, if you can remember, if you're here, cultivating God's what? Kingdom in our community and beyond. A vision statement is where we're headed. It may be a marathon. It may be 5 years down the road. It may be 10 years down the road, but that's the direction we're headed. A mission statement tells us how we're going to get there. It's the nuts and bolts. How are we going to get there? This is our mission. World War II, the end goal, right, was to end fighting all across the globe. But that only happened with little missions in between, right? Successful missions here, sometimes unsuccessful missions. This is our mission. Harvest Community Church is devoted to going, gathering, and growing together in love for God and one another. Now, we developed this mission statement from three main passages in Scripture. Let's turn to the first one right now. The first one I want you to turn to is Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It'll be up here on the screen if you can't turn there fast enough or want to look at it. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to breaking of bread and the prayers. This is talking about the very first church. That's who the they is in this statement. We're talking about the very first Christians. After Jesus had ascended, he empowered the disciples to continue the mission. They formed what's called the church, what we still call the church, the body of believers. And this is talking about that first group of people who met regularly together, and this is what they did when they met. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. This is what they did every day. Notice that word, devoted. Devoted. Now, this word in the Greek, I am not about to butcher the Greek for you. I'm not a Greek scholar, and I'm thankful that most of you are not. We might have some Greek scholars in here that I'm not aware of. Tony might, but Tony's a Greek scholar, so I'm not gonna go there, Tony, all right? I'm going to leave that alone. But the Greek word that we use for this, we'll see in other places through the New Testament, because that's where Greek is in the New Testament, for the word commitment. So anywhere we see the word commitment in your translation, it also means devoted. They're the same Greek word. All right? So when we say we commit our lives to Christ, then we're actually saying we devote our lives to Christ. Now let's talk about the difference. Jacob, go ahead and just leave that up there. Let me talk about the difference. Best way I can explain the difference was a story that I heard recently of a soccer game. Any soccer players in here? Right? Anybody ever play soccer in here? All right, great. We got some soccer players in here. Soccer's intense. I referee soccer, and I have refereed some what we call the competitive leagues. Right? That's intense. I'm not a fan of refereeing those. Right? Because it doesn't matter what I call, it's wrong. It doesn't matter. It's always wrong. To somebody, it's wrong. But this, I heard this story. It was on Facebook, and this man was talking about how he was going to go watch his son playing in a competitive soccer match. And he was sitting there watching his son on one team, and he happened to be sitting next to a man, another father, whose son was on the other team. All right, and so they're playing, and the match starts, and I mean, within 5 minutes, and this is unheard of. Tony knows a lot about soccer, and many of you do. Within the first 5 minutes of the game, it was 3-0. That's incredible. That's amazing. And this man's team was losing. The other father's son's team was winning. And he was just like blown away. How in the world? And he could see that they were just passing the ball and their shooting was accurate. And he knew right from the get-go that his kid's team was way out of their league. So he just asked the dad, he said, "Your son's team is amazing. I mean, we're going to get slaughtered. Only 5 minutes into the game and it's already 3-0. We're going to get slaughtered. What, I mean, tell me, what do y'all do that's different? We're both competitive teams." And this other father said, "Well, we practice 4 days a week. All right, we practice 4 days a week. We have games the other 2 days, and then we take off a day, a rest." Okay. Well, you know, well, he's like, my son's team, you know, we practice 2 or 3 days. "Well, how long is your practice?" And this other father said, "Well, the practice is 6 hours a day." How in the world does your son practice 6 hours a day with school and all the stuff going on? "Well, none of our players are in school. We homeschool them, right? So that they can have more time to practice. That's the reason we homeschool them, is so that they would be able to have, they can practice as much as they need to throughout the day and not have to worry about school kind of interfering. They still get their studies." And he's like, "Really?" And he said, "Yeah." And then also, you know, "We play other teams throughout the nation. Like, we travel all over the country to play teams, which means we travel. And so there's sometimes we're gone for like 3 or 4 days at a time playing all these games, which involves hotel stay and travel expenses." And it was clear that this team, this father, this son, his team was playing, practicing, doing soccer at a level that was significantly greater than this other team. Well, this conversation came up in the car going home, right? I don't know what the final score was, but you know it was terrible, right? You know it was terrible. And this father's driving home. His son is sitting in the passenger seat just defeated. "Man, that was terrible. We didn't even look like we even knew how to play soccer. That was horrible, right? That was terrible. What was going on?" And the father said this. He said, "Son, let me tell you what the difference is. It's the difference between being interested in soccer, committed to soccer, and devoted to soccer." He said, "See, son, when you first came to us and said, 'Dad, I want to play soccer,' it's because you played at school. Some friends are running around kicking a soccer ball. You got a chance to kick it. You scored. And you thought, 'I'm pretty good at this. I kind of like this.' And so you played a little more soccer. You were kind of interested in it, right? And you came home and Dad said, 'Soccer's pretty cool, Dad.' And he said, 'Well, let's go watch a game.' And so remember, we went to a professional soccer game. We watched some professional soccer. And you're like, 'I want to do this.' See, you're interested in it. And you're so interested that you said, 'Dad, I want to play for a team.' And we started out at the rec level, right? Just kind of playing for the city. And you were so interested that you actually started to practice a little more and you got better than that rec team. And you wanted to go to the competitive team. Which means now we do have to travel with you a little bit, right? So your interest went from just a little bit of interest to now commitment, because it's expensive to be on a competitive team. You pay more. You have all the travel. You do have the extra practices, the extra time involved in it. And now you're practicing. You know, your team practices about 2 days a week, sometimes three, but at least two. Your practices are about an hour, maybe 2 hours. Right? And you guys, you're good, right? But you're not great. You see, this team, they weren't just interested in it. They weren't just committed to it. They were devoted to it. Giving up basically life to do it. But giving up all these things that kids don't, right? I mean, can you imagine practicing 6 hours a day on a sport? You don't have time. Guys, you don't have time for video games, right? You don't have time to do fun stuff at home. You're dialed into soccer 6 days a week. You're either practicing or playing soccer. That is devotion. That's what he said. Son, that's the difference. You're just committed. Your team is just committed. They are devoted. And that's why you lost. Now, we look at this passage up here, and we see the word devoted. And they were devoted. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They weren't just interested in it. All right? It was kind of cool, because when the apostles would teach Peter, namely, when he would teach in his language, one time all these people heard it in all a different language. That's kind of interesting. Right? And they just weren't committed to it. They're like, wow, cool, this group of believers are kind of getting together. I think I'll kind of sneak in every once in a while. Right? And just kind of plug in. No, they were devoted to it. They were devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to the fellowship. Right? That's the getting together, the encouraging of one another. And they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread, eating meals together, and they devoted themselves to prayer. It was just more than so if we go back to our mission statement, if you will, Jacob, this is why we chose the word devoted. You see, because in order for us to meet our mission, in order for us to cultivate God's kingdom in Olathe, God's kingdom in Delta, whatever your community is, God's kingdom, it's your workplace, it's going to take more than just interest. It's going to take a little more than just interest, right? It's going to take more than just, hey, I saw your pastor preach a sermon on Facebook. That was pretty good. I think I'm going to watch a few more of his sermons. That's kind of interesting to me, right? It's going to take more than just commitment. You know, hey, I'm going to show up maybe a couple times, right? When Easter and Christmas kind of comes around, I'm going to plug in, right? And I'll maybe pop in just a little more, okay? That's good. We're grateful for that, but it's going to take more than just a little bit of commitment. We need people devoted. What are they devoted to? Going, gathering, growing. Okay, this is where we get the title of our series, Go, Gather, Grow. All right, folks, we have a great building here. All right, my family went to visit the open house at the Mormon temple, just out of curiosity, right? Never been in one, just curious, kind of understanding about what it's all about and what they believe. And it's a beautiful building. That's a lot of money, right? We have a really nice building. It's not that. We have a really nice building. But the fact that we have a really nice little church building here doesn't mean people are just going to walk in the doors. It may happen. It has happened. Some people have literally walked by, saw that it was a church, saw there was people here and said, I need to go to church, and walked in the door. It has happened, but on a large scale, that's not going to happen, right? That's not going to happen. People aren't just going to walk by and see our church and want to come in. So that being the case, we have to go. When the town is handing out candy on the streets for Halloween, right? We need to be there. We need to be there because we love people. We love kids. We love families. We love our community. And that's a great place to meet a whole bunch of those people. And to do something very simple like hand out candy to them, right? Okay, we need to go. We need to do things in our community, right? We need to gather. All right. We need to through the purposes of our going is not just to go, not to be a church that's really doing a lot of things, right? But we have the responsibility to share the gospel, right? We are laborers in the field, Harvest Community Church. A harvest demands a harvester. We're the harvesters, right? The harvest is in here this morning. You guys are a product of the harvest, but the harvest is out there. And we got to go get it. It's not just going to, you know, none of these cornfields in our area are just going to cut themselves down, jump in the corn truck, right, and drive themselves off to the sales. Not going to happen. Somebody's got to do that. A tractor's got to do it. Right? In the olden days, the guy with a big old sickle and scythe had to do it. Somebody's got to do it. We got to go do it. We got to gather them, right? And hopefully and prayerfully, people are going to come to know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And they're going to want what is going on here. They're going to want to be a part. And so we will gather them together. Then we'll bring them here, right? And then once we get them here, we're going to grow together. Because remember, we're still growing, even though that's the weird thing about who we are. We're not only the laborers, but we're also the crops. We also have to grow a little bit. Where do we get this from? Let's turn to some of our other passages. Okay, Matthew 28:19. We've used this sermon. This is a great message. Matthew 28:19 should be familiar to you, but we're going to read it anyway. Jacob, I hear the wheels turning back there. He's trying to pull it up. All right. This is right before Jesus is physically leaving earth. Okay, physically leaving earth. He kind of shortly starts in 18. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. And then in 19, he says, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them, verse 20, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded to you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. What is that first word in 19? Go. How silly would it have been if those disciples saw Jesus go up there and says, okay, I guess we'll just sit here for a little bit. And maybe people will come to the top of the mountain and we can share with them what God has done in our lives, what Jesus has done in our lives. Maybe if they'll just come up here to the mountain with us, we could do that. No, that wasn't going to happen. They had to go. And that was the command. It's not a suggestion. We call this an imperative statement. This is specifically a command to go. And so as a church, we're going to go. Right? We're going to go make disciples of all nations. We're going to make disciples of all Olathians. We're going to make disciples of all Deltons, Coloradans, Western Coloradans, right? We're to go. Where to go. All right, and making disciples, that's that gather, that grow. Also, let's look at Matthew 22:37-40. Just flip over back a few pages in Matthew. Right. And it's up there on the screen. As he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Okay. You shall. You shall. Not you could. You might think about it. You might consider it. No. You shall. We don't use the word shall a lot. That's kind of a weird one for us, I admit, right? You know, hey, we're out of creamer. I shall go to the store and go picketh up thy creamer. Anything else I need to pick it upeth? Right? You know, I get that. Some of these words are a little, you know, right? But it is, again, it's a command, right? You shall love the Lord your God. And in verse 39, continuing, and a second is like it, you shall, it's a command, love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 40, on these two commands depend all the law and the prophets. What is he saying in that last part? Okay, folks, I've told you before, there's 631 laws in the Bible that the Old Testament and the Jews had to follow. 631. That's a list, folks. That's a killer list. The chances of you being able to obey all 631 are impossible, right? You can't do it. So Jesus says, I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to take 631 commands. We're going to boil them down to two. Love God. Love others. So let's go back to our mission statement. Harvest Community Church is devoted to going, gathering, and growing together. This is not just a solo project. This is not just a pastor going to do this. This is not just a sound people going out to do it. Together, we're going to do this all together, okay? In love for God and one another through Christ. So here's where we get this, right? Our two commands. Together in love for God, first and foremost, do all things in love for God. Second of all, which is Christ is saying, the other is like it, which means it's almost equal, right? It's just off by just mere degrees. Love one another. Love the people in our church. Love each other. Love your neighbors. Right? As you love yourself. Love your coworkers. Right? Love that really hard to love guy down the street that his dog is always getting out and coming and pooping on your yard all the time. Right? And you have talked to him a million times and have just come short of saying, look, you take care of your dog or I'm going to do it. Right? You know, love that dude. Love that dude. Because that's a command from God. Right? Love God first. The reason we got to love God first, right? And to do all these things is this last part right here, through Christ. Folks, this mission statement is a mission statement that God has given a bunch of humans. And we're hot messes, right? If the building the kingdom of God was solely dependent on you and you alone, right? How would that go? Let's change that. If building a skyscraper in downtown Olathe was your job alone, no construction crew, no engineer to help you, right? Nothing. You had to come up, you had to draft it, you had to build it, you had to get it permitted, and you had to do all of it yourself. How would it go? Yeah. It doesn't matter how good a builder you are. You could be Elon Musk, right? You could be the most brilliant person in the world, but you can't do it by yourself, right? These things that God is asking us to do as a church, our mission is to go, be devoted to it, to go, to gather, to grow, do it together. We got to get along. We got to do it together. It's everybody's job. It's the 3-year-old's job. It's the 14-year-old's job. It's the 22-year-old's job. It's the 85-year-old job. Everybody's responsible at Harvest Community Church to do this, right? Together in love for God and love for one another through the power of Christ. We have to recognize we can't do this on our own. We can't do this on our own. We have to rely upon God to do it. This, folks, this is our mission at our church. And it, notice I didn't put mission statement A. Okay, yeah, Jacob, will you put up mission statement B up there for me? Okay. There's not another one? Oh. So this is it. Yeah, this is it, folks. Okay? This is the mission statement that God has put this. I got the privilege to spend some time with some pastors this past week. And one pastor, a church in Montrose, he used this word 1,000 times. I almost wanted to throat chop him, right? Because he kept saying it over and over again. But I couldn't because he was so right. They just recently did the same thing. He adopted a church that was kind of floundering. They had no vision. They had no mission. They didn't even know what their purpose was. And he came and they prayed and God gave them a mission. And they started doing some things that were kind of weird. Right? So like for the summer, they cancel all their stuff. They would even cancel church on Sundays. Right? Why? Because they decided that they were going to all go on a camping trip up in the mountains. 150 people. I don't know how they did it. They all went camping on a weekend and had church up there. So they didn't really cancel it. They just moved it, right, to a place that, quite honestly, would be maybe a little more fun than sitting in a chair on Sunday morning. Why did they do it? Here's the reason why. He said, because our mission dictated it. Their mission statement says that they're going to do that. And so it doesn't matter if the pastor's like, I don't like camping. Now he does. But if he said, I don't like camping, you don't get a say in it, pastor, because the mission says this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to grow our church as families. We're going to spend time out in the woods together. Right? So that's why I share this with you. That's why it's important that everybody be in here this morning, even the kids, right? Because we all have a responsibility to this mission. Nobody's exempt. If you want to be a part of Harvest Community, now, if you're like, you read this and you're just like, that's not for me. That's cool. Good for you. Right? But I don't feel called to that. That's okay. All right? That means that maybe there's another church in the area that, and I'm not being ugly about it. I don't want anybody to leave. I'm just being honest with you, right? Because if you're here and you plug in it and you say, I'm all in, I am devoted to this mission statement, that's the expectation. And that's what we're going to hold each other accountable to. You're going to hold me accountable to it as a pastor. Pastor, I don't see you going. I don't see you gathering. I don't see you growing. You're right. Thank you. I need to be devoted to this and not just interested in it, okay? That's why we're doing this. That's why we're presenting this today. I'm going to close with this about devotion. A story about, and actually there's multiple stories about this. You probably have a story too, okay? In Scotland, okay? In Scotland, there's this dog named Bobby, right? What a cool name for a dog-ish, right? I don't know. I'm not going to judge dog names, right? My dog's named Doobie, right? So I don't have anything to say about dogs. There's this dog named Bobby, and this dog belonged to this man who was a single man, okay, all of his life, all right, no wife, no children, right? But he was upstanding in the community. He was a public servant, right? And as long as this man had his dog, Bobby, they did everything together, went to work together. Anybody take your dog to work? I've seen that around here a lot, right? I tried to bring my dog to work, and my dog, my German Shepherd dog, won't go up the stairs, right? I mean, he won't go. He's scared to death of this church, so I don't bring him anymore, right? Because I'm afraid of what he's going to do out of fear, right? Bobby went to work with this man every day. He was always spending time with his owner. They went to work together, of course, spent time at home together. This dog was devoted to his master. Here's how we know this. His master turned 81 and passed away. 81, passed away. The dog at this point was only about 7, right? Oldish, but not, you know, dogs can go a long time. His master died at 81. They buried his master in the cemetery. Okay, and you probably recognize the story. Bobby moved in to the cemetery. Bobby made a bed. Bobby was at the funeral for his master. When they lowered his master down into the grave, he was there. When they filled it in with dirt, Bobby was there. And as soon as the dirt was on top and everything was set, Bobby went and laid down on top of the grave. Never left. Not to go get food, not to go chase a ball, not to go get a stick, not because he saw some cute dog walk by. Bobby never left. Day after day, Bobby sat there, and it became a real concern for the people, right? Because everybody could see that Bobby was starting to lose weight because he wasn't feeding. So many of the city workers would come out and they would leave food for him. And eventually they built a little doghouse, a little shelter for him, because he was out there in the snow, he was out there in the rain, right? Well, eventually there was a law that was passed because the dogs in this part of Scotland, in this town, were just kind of out of control. So there was a law that was passed about licensing and such. And the law said that if your dog wasn't licensed, it had to be destroyed. And there was a great concern for Bobby. So the mayor of the town, or the equivalent of the mayor of the town, bought Bobby a dog license, a brand new collar. And he adopted Bobby, but Bobby never moved in with them. He was the one that personally went out to the mayor of the town every day, twice a day, went out to feed, water, and care for Bobby until Bobby died 14 years later. 14 years this dog never left. Devotion. God's not asking for that type of devotion necessarily. What God is asking for us is to look at ourselves and ask ourselves, are we just interested in cultivating the kingdom of God in our community and beyond? Are we committed to it? Will we kind of give a little money here and there towards it? Will we maybe show up every once in a while at church and say, yeah, I'm kind of on board with this, right? I'm really not all in on it. Or are we devoted to it? Are we going to say, Lord, if this is a mission for my church and I love this church and I want to be a part of this church, then that's my mission too. I'm going to show up. I'm going to be here. I'm going to devote myself to it. If that means I have to clear my schedule to make church a priority, I'm going to do it. If I can't be here on Sunday mornings, there's a Wednesday night. I'm going to be at Wednesday night church. If I can't be here either of those two, by golly, I'm going to go online. I'm going to watch it. All right. If Harvest Community Church is sending people to Brazil, I'm going to figure out how to help. If we're praying for a people group in Indonesia, I'm going to pray with them. That's what God, and it's not me asking. I join God in the ask. It's not that I'm against what he's asking. I'm saying this is what God is asking and commanding our mission to do. The problem is this. If we don't fulfill this mission, if we continue to go on kind of like we are and be like, that's really great. That's a great statement, Pastor. Good job. Way to go. But we don't meet the mission. We cannot expect Harvest Community Church to be allowed to continue to minister in this community. I don't know what that means. I've seen what happens in other churches who have been given a mission, who have been given a vision, and they neglected it or they disregarded it. They're not having church this morning. They're not having church. And I hate to put a bummer on it, right? Oh, man, Sour Sally coming in. I just want you to know the reality of it. This is how important this is. This is why it's taken us 2 years for God to show it to us, to understand it, because it's important enough that it means the very future of our church lives on this right here. As we pray, let's close our eyes and bow our heads. Some of you are here for the first time, and you're just like, whoa, this is intense, right? Some of you have been here every Sunday, faithfully. Regardless of that, we all kind of have an opportunity to make a decision here. We all have an opportunity to make a decision. So in closing, as we pray, I want us to each personally say, God, we have heard the mission. We know what the vision of this church is, this church body. And I want us to just ask God, I just want us to just be open to it. I'm not asking for a commitment this morning. I'm not asking for us to rise and say, yeah. This morning, I'm asking for the same thing that God asked of me about a year ago. Would you just be open to it? Would you just be open to adopting this mission, joining us on mission to see Olathe be changed forever by the power of Christ? Father God, I pray for each person here that we will honestly take a look at this. Honestly be open and have open conversation with you. That's what's so cool about you, God. I mean, you want to talk to us. You want to chat with us. That seems weird, right? Because you're the creator of the universe and you're all the things. And you're just like, you want to talk with me? Yeah, you do. And Father God, I just pray that each person here will take an opportunity today or even right now or maybe later on down the week and just say, God, I see the mission of this church. And God, right now, maybe I'm just interested in it. And I want to move to committed to it. Maybe I'm committed to it and I need to move to devoted to it. Or maybe even, God, man, this is great. And Lord bless this church. But I'm not sure I'm supposed to be a part. Those are all options, all decisions that we can make, God, in response to what you've shared with us today. And so I just pray that we make one of those choices. If not today, this week, next week, we're going to kind of wrap up. We're going to have one more opportunity to talk about vision, mission. Next week, we're going to talk about our values and our purpose and kind of where we go from here. So, Father God, maybe next week's the time to make that decision. But, Father God, I just pray that each person will take time to ask themselves, Lord, what's my part? What's my part? And then when you tell us, help us to be obedient to that. Not in our own power, but through the power of Christ. Pray all these things in your son's holy name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you, guests, for joining us today. We're so thrilled to have you. The doors are always open to you. You need to know that. And thank you for just listening. Kids, great job, right? Y'all did well. I appreciate that. Next week, we will have children's church upstairs and talking donkeys and falling walls and all those things. So anyway, join us then. Other than that, hope to see you at the shower later for the Maciels. And if we don't see you there Wednesday night, we'll see you at Bible study. If we don't see you there, maybe next week or down the road. We love you guys. You are sent. We'll see you later.